Hi everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of Burly.
Yar, Bears! And a teat.
Teat.
Oh, extra low, that's on.
I had to go low because we did a rehearsal before this, and I realised that when I hit the full vibrato, like high-pitched register, the microphone just goes, nope, can't hear that. So
yeah, I did. I wondered why I got a nosebleed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my mirror shattered behind me. So, Burly, we are back. We are shooting a new episode of Burly and a Tea, a podcast about two dads just navigating the challenges of life while talking about their favourite things, their jolly hobbies. You go through an earthquake right now. What just happened?
my schlong just knocked my laptop. Sorry.
We're back. So, let's talk about something we both experienced recently. It was actually your idea. You pitched this to me. It was the London gaming market in Euston. We took a little trip down there a few weeks ago. Just tell everyone really quickly, Burly, how did you discover it? And what is this thing, that this jolly jaunt that we went on together?
A friend of mine actually introduced me to it about a year ago. Someone else that enjoys a bit of the old retro gaming, who'd been previously, took me down. And basically, it's a big room filled with sweaty men trawling through games of the past, of all manner of platforms. So you've got your Nintendo nerds, your PlayStation, Xbox, etc. Going back as Ataris and Segas, and you know, all games from everywhere, all over the world, all in one place where you can purchase for your own little delight. And these things, games that could cost as little as a couple of pounds up to many hundreds of pounds. And
yeah,
there was
a huge spectrum, wasn't there, of different pricing. I saw there was a copy of Kirby's Air Ride for the GameCube that was going for £270, versus where you could go through, like, you know, you're scrolling through some PS1 games, they might be like 3-4 quid each, you know? So there was a real range.
And that's what I go for. I like rifling through all the stuff to go, oh, I played that when I was 9, and it's £3. So I'll get it because it's £3. So yeah, I just thought it'd be something you would like, because I sort of did it last year and thought, oh, it's lots of Nintendo, so many Nintendo sort of bits and bats all over the place. And I thought, oh, you know, it's like CEX on steroids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you don't like, one thing I should say is, I think if you don't like other human beings,
you're
packed in so tight to this thing, because it is, you know, they've got a lot of vendors there. It's a relatively small space, actually, given the amount that they cram in. But you are kind of like, you know, shoulder to shoulder, sniffing bums as you go.
Yeah, you kind of have to sort of wedge your way in and fight your way to the front to sort of rifle through all the bits and bobs. And what's odd is that not a lot of people were buying a lot of stuff, I thought, personally. Considering
a lot of browsing, a lot of rifling.
Considering you've got to pay like £4 to get in, I would have thought people would have been packing more away. But I think I spent about 40, 50 quid and walked away with some absolute classics that are going to sit on my shelf for the next couple of years, but until I even get time to play them,
Ready, but you've got them locked and loaded in the
They
back.
Are there, but there. The fact that they're there, and technically I can go and play them at any point.
Yeah.
But I will no doubt struggle to do so. So I think...
You picked up Red Faction, didn't you?
Red Faction. I picked up Red Faction the last time I went.
Nice.
And this time I picked up Red Faction 2, which was on the PS2. And I had quite sort of fond memories of playing both those games. So I haven't actually finished playing Red Faction 1, in all fairness. I've got about halfway through it. But again, I think I got that. What did I get? I've got Time Splitters 1 and 2 as well.
Oh, I mean, incredible, right?
Some of the best games, best two games, I think, ever, really. Top 20.
Well, you would want to introduce Red Faction 2 to me back in the day when it was first coming out, because I was playing Time Splitters 2 with your brother on the GameCube, and then playing Red Faction 2 with you on the PS2.
Yes. I had it early noughties, I'd say. Yeah. And, just a nice little gem from your childhood. I think it probably holds up quite well in terms of gameplay. And it's sitting on my shelf, ready to rock and roll.
Well, it also does. It does show you the power of retro gaming, and also the passion people have for that era of the industry, because you see not only just how busy it was, but also the way people were talking. There was, it was very enthusiastic. There was clearly a lot of interest, and everyone seemed so excited to be there.
A lot of guys our age, let's be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
Lots of guys our age, a bit older, a few a bit younger, some a little more sort of socially on the fringes, I think. probably still living at home.
Yeah,
but
we very much represented the functional dad rig.
We're like the normies, right? Yeah. We're the normies that just like gaming, right? And we were there. But I think what I like about it is it's that level of like when I was a teenager playing video games, you had a very small, very lean budget, right? Because it was like 40 quid a game, I think then, right? 40 quid a game.
Oh, easily. Like, I mean, the classic was Turok on the N64 was £70 then.
Yeah, a game was £70 now, right? So about 20 years ago, like 40 quid for a game, lots of moolahs. And as like that's like that was like 2 weeks of paper round money for me. I got like 20 quid a week, so £40 for a game is like, and especially when these games were like there was no online, so when you played it effectively, you could play the game on a Saturday and finish it Sunday.
Totally,
and you're done, and you're
and
done.
Also,
right?
there was no post-launch patches. There was no like fixing errors. What you got was what was printed on
the disc. Game was the game. So if you then all you did was just play the same game over and over again. So you were always very careful about what you bought, right? But now as an adult and you look back and these games are now 5 quid, I could buy many, many of these games.
Totally.
I mean, just to play like show off, right? I've got so many memory cards.
Look at me, I can save all my bits.
I've got memory cards. Whereas back then, one memory card, and you had to be careful about what you were saving, because again, you want to waste your money on another memory card.
Oh, man, you know, filling up your blocks on a GameCube memory card, where you'd always panic because the more full it got, you sort of go, I've got to sacrifice a game saver, I've got to sacrifice, you know.
Yeah, that's the same with a memory card, right? So you had one, I think at one point I had two memory cards when I was a kid, and I was like, ooh, Jeremy, look at me, I've got two memory cards. I've got like seven of the bastards now. And
just swimming in cards.
Yeah, I'm swimming in them. I've got more cards than I know, more memory than games right now. So I think that's what it is. I think it's just going back, and to be fair, most of the games I've bought over the last couple of years for PS1, 2, 3 are all games that I actually played when I was little. So I haven't actually, I've only very, very few new old games that I've bought. So there's a few that would have been like, oh, I never got around to buying that when I was a kid because, you know, you ran out of time, whatever. Then the next gen came out and then you were sort of on to the next thing, right? So there's a few opportunities that I missed that were on my list. So it's just filling up the, this is what I had, this is what I wanted to play. And that's sort of enough to keep you going for quite a while, really. So
yeah, that's
going to somewhere like that, especially as it was very PlayStation heavy, I found, which works for me, being a massive PlayStation head. As I mentioned, I think the last time we did this, I was talking about getting a PlayStation. And since then, I've bought everything. I've got every single PlayStation now, every single variant of PlayStation.
I don't know whether this is reflective of the console war, but when you talked about PlayStation, you started to glow behind you. exactly. PlayStation Jesus.
Give me a free PlayStation.
Exactly, just to add to the collection. But that is interesting you say about sort of trying to bring back what you had previously, because I know I made the huge mistake, as you do, because you don't have the kind of disposable income at that age. I traded my original GameCube for an original Xbox at the time, and I always regretted that choice as an adult and have steadily been rebuying and bringing back all of my old stuff. But now,
hindsight is a wonderful thing, right? I mean, some of the games I had when I was that age went up in value, right? So I had to buy a game last year. It was the most expensive game I've ever bought, which was nearly £80 for a game. And it was a PlayStation 1 game I owned for top 20 quid. And I think, I probably traded it in for like nothing. I should have just kept it. But at the time,
dude, yeah, totally.
When you've got like pocket money, the only way to keep developing your experience of gaming was trading.
Yeah, and it was the only way that made it viable for you to move on to the next thing as well. Yeah, there was no option.
A lot of kids now do it. That's how they kind of the digital, the way it's going digital is going to be a lot harder for kids, right? But they've got the subscriptions, right? But if you want to buy a new game, most people are going in with a handful of other games to trade in to afford that game. I just don't care. It doesn't bother me now. I'm like, if I want, I buy games so little and often, really, it's like you just buy it. And now I
No,
just keep it.
totally. That,
Now I
yeah.
just keep it. So I'm like, well, I might as well just have it. I've got some hard copies of PS4, PS5 games that I'm probably not going to play, but I'm like, do you know what? I'm just going to keep it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
I don't. I now I've got.
it's not worth the £2 I'm going to get.
Yeah, I tend not to trade stuff now, only because, again, like you've kind of alluded to, the fact that the value that you get is so minimal. You have to bring a stack of 10 to make it even worth your trip. You know, it's which is annoying. Now I've moved into the stuff that I've missed phase. So the things that I never played back then, but desperately would love to have revisited.
Why not? It's a lot cheaper than going, like, when you can buy a game for a pint of beer, you might as well have the game. At least you've got the game for life, and then the option to trade it in and get some money back. You know,
Should you want to down the
the
line?
beer you literally drink and piss out. So, you
Well,
know.
we've always said, haven't we, that we don't certainly you and I and people like, you know, Rocco and Chit, who I know are listening right now, the you know, we tended to avoid sort of the big piss up weekends. We'd rather sort of bring the monitors around and do a four player gaming sesh. That was always the
It's just so much more chill. There's no hangover in the morning or regrets of, I've just spent £100.
Totally. Well, I tell you something else that I certainly don't regret, and that is playing a little game called Helldivers 2 with you.
Oh, you're so mainstream.
I know, so obvious,
So
right?
mainstream. It's like, no one's heard of that. What are you on
No, exactly. You know, I
about?
just was, you know, I saw you earlier with your mug sipping a cup of Liberty.
Oh. I've been drinking Liberty all last 2 months.
I'll bet.
I don't nearly feel free enough though.
We reference those two human beings that are definitely listening right now, and I need them to understand how much fun they're missing out on.
I was playing when did I play? Yesterday, Friday night. So I've got like a very limited amount of gaming over the next 2 weeks. So I was like, I'm just gonna play Helldivers 2, because I'm like, it's my obsession. I don't mind saying it. I'm absolutely obsessed. That's probably one of the reasons why I'm finding it hard to get on the retro, because I'm like, oh, I've got an hour. What do I do? Helldivers, because it's so easy to pick up and play. And I think I ended up, and I never do this. Yeah, when I play online with like outside of like the friendship circles and just go on my own, I never talk to anyone.
No,
Never
neither
talk
do
to
I.
anyone. You mute the whole thing, you play online, and you're just like, I'm just killing time right now. I'm quite happy doing my own thing with lots of other people online, but I don't want to talk to anyone. Helldivers 2 changes that, because it's a game that strongly encourages you to talk to strangers, which sounds really bad, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Like,
I mean,
hello,
if
kids.
it's yeah, it's how you're pitching that, I think, 'cause it
It
really encourages you
sounds.
to reach out to those that don't know you.
Watch out, parents. If your children are playing Helldivers 2, they're definitely speaking to a middle-aged
Watch out,
man.
anyone listening to this
It's
podcast.
just like, I want to play with your kids.
Absolutely. And let's clip that out. That, by
Yeah.
the way, is now on the internet forever.
That's for real. I
So,
want to play with your kids. I did it again. Oh,
and awkwardly, as you said that,
I
my
can
child
never.
just arrived here.
I could never run for Prime Minister now.
Was always on the cards.
That was always an option. But I was playing, and I just stopped, and I found it already. I've added people on this game, all from America, oddly. But you just end up talking, and they're always American, always some Yank guy. I think the guy I was talking to on Friday was from like Austin, Texas, proper thick
Right, okay.
Texan guy. And he was the only he was talking, and there was a couple of people that just weren't playing the game quite right. And he was talking, and I was like, well, straight away he's my leader. I'm gonna banter back, right, and go, like, coordinate the game with him. And it becomes like this, as soon as you start that immediately it cements this sort of like this camaraderie, right, where you're all in on it together. You've like been brainwashed by the game, where you're like, for liberty,
Yeah.
justice,
And it's
you
sort of
know.
it where it becomes you're almost role playing it, doesn't it? Because the game has done such a good job of its sort of its obvious parody of like military and political overreach, and like it is meant to be this sort of very dude bro kind of experience, and that
we're clearly,
I think it's,
you're
hooks you
clearly
in,
a fascist, you know.
And you literally are, yeah.
Yeah, and if and there's things of like where people just like who aren't in on it, like I do you sense a traitor where people are killing
oh my
people.
God. Totally. It's so funny, and also
who aren't in on it, and it's,
yeah,
it's
and I
just
keep
hilarious.
I keep seeing the other thing happen. I've seen idiots on social media saying like, "How dare you suggest that me playing Helldivers makes me a fascist?" And you
Is
go,
that, I haven't
"No,
seen that.
No, no, we're not saying outside of the digital virtual world you're playing in that you yourself are a fascist because you're fighting for Super Earth on PS5. No, we're not saying that.
It's just tongue in cheek." Hilarity,
it is,
isn't it?
And it's people taking it, I think, way too seriously and sort of looking either for sort of false engagement or kind of seeking an argument.
But it's so clearly satire, yeah? It's
totally.
So obvious, but it's so perfect in the in the little margin. So you just end up playing with people and just taking the mic and you're killing insects and robots, right? You're not, you know.
Well, it's
but
so simple, isn't it?
It's
that's
simple
why I think it works.
And fun. And like I say, I'm talking to strangers. And adding people, I'm like, sure, we'd be friends. If we're online together next time, let's play together.
Let's squad up.
Let's squad up, baby. We got the set. Because you find people that play the same way you do, and you're like, yeah, I want to. Because sometimes you play with some randos, and they're a little bit like, oh,
yeah. I did that with Halo back in the day. It was a little bit of that, where maybe every now and then I'd unmute my mic, and I might end up once in a blue just connecting with someone on there.
Yeah, but beyond that, it's literally just in that world you get on. I'm sure outside of that, we'd probably be completely different people. But just for the hour or so you're playing that game, you're just on the same level of just having fun. He's like, yeah, and the guy's like, this is what I like. I just like to. The whole point of the game is to talk and interact and achieve the objectives, isn't it? And it's like, I'm like, yeah. I said I've played games where people don't talk, but you can just sort of use the icons to do the game, and that can, if you're on the right page with some people, you can do that. And sometimes you play with people that are just like doing their own thing, they're Rambo in it,
yeah.
And
actually,
and you're like, oh, I'm not really as soon as you leave the game, you're like, well, I'm leaving,
I didn't
your
enjoy
game.
That,
I'm gonna boot you, or I'm gonna leave. Like, you're not
or
quite,
you kind of you sit there thinking, oh, I wish I was actually playing with someone that I knew already, as
all
opposed
the time.
To a random.
I would much rather be playing that game with like you guys, but like, obviously, like, you can't always play at the same time. So I'm like, I'll quite happily
jump
play
on
with strangers.
That does speak to how well Helldivers has integrated its multiplayer, in the sense that it's so easy to connect with people and for you to feel comfortable enough to unmute. That means the game is doing something well with its mechanics. It's encouraging that teamwork and that squad play, whereas
the
other games don't.
It doesn't work as well if someone's going solo. Like, occasionally you get someone that goes off rogue, right? And they try and do their own thing. They break away from the group. It doesn't work because they die. And in order for you to bring them back into the game, that you have to bring them back all the way to where you are.
Yeah.
So their game is all the way on the other side of the map. But you're like, well, you're with us.
Yeah,
and then
making
they run off
that,
again.
Making
they
that
run off
choice
again.
Redundant.
Yeah, and they get killed again. And you're like, you're an idiot. Like, just stick with the team. We move together. You know, play the game together. Coordinate. And we can all have so much more fun. Because otherwise you get completely overwhelmed, because it's not a game that you can, unless you're a hardcore type person, that game is hard, right? On your own.
My God. From level, there's 9 difficulty levels in Helldivers 2. And I would say from like 3 and above, if you're playing solo, you're going to have a miserable time. Like, you're going to really struggle there. And actually, you said about communication, pinging and stuff like that, and how to like, even without a headset, you know, people still tag enemies or whatever. I think Apex Legends did a good job of that. I think Apex did a good job back in the day, but I would very rarely talk to the people that I was playing with. But because of the way the ping system worked, like the fact that
you
it
mark
was
them
so...
out. I'm going to go over here, right? So you can go, right, we can quite clearly see our objective. You pinned an objective. Someone would automatically become the default leader, right? But basically, the first person to ping becomes the squad leader, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the same in Helldivers. Immediately, as soon as you hit the ground, someone's talking, and that person is like, right, that guy's in charge.
They're coordinating, right?
Yeah, you're in charge. You're leading the squad. We're kind of with you. It's alphaism. So I think that's why some people don't talk, because they're not like talkers, right? They're the betas or whatever, but they still want to play. You go in and be the alpha. Go, guys, don't have to talk to me. Let's do this. And you can kind of, it's just this very cooperative, collaborative gaming, and just the gameplay, the mechanics, the undertone satire, the everything about it, it ticks everything for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Outside of, I'm very much a narrative school. I like a story game. I do love
Same.
A story game. A single
We've always talked
player.
about how we like smelling the roses, don't we? We like to dig into the
Solo. I
story
like those games. They are my favorite.
and.
But in terms of the collab games, your online multiplayers, this is my top of the pyramid for me. Just in terms of everything that it just does it in the way that I'm like, this is like the perfect game.
You know
This
what?
is
Also,
everything I
yeah,
like.
that's it, like you said. It's sort of in terms of features, it's ticking those boxes. But I also think mechanically, the thing you're actually doing, you feel really grounded in the world, and it's very like the movement's really heavy, and the aiming's good, and it feels like the actual act of playing the game and getting around the world. That in itself is also fun, and then you layer in all those elements on top.
And the visuals of it, like you're saying, people keep saying it's like a cinematic experience when you do it. And you even get some screenshots and some like little shorts of that, that just look incredible. Like it, like wow, that looks amazing. And then you just get that followed by something completely dumb, which
totally.
Makes you laugh. You go from being super serious to laughing your ass off to going back to serious to laughing, and then having fun the whole like and just. So good.
Did you ever play the original?
Now, I never played the original. It was a PS3, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, Helldivers 1.
Yeah.
And it was,
so I think I might get it for the PS3. Just
So you've got So it was a top down game. It was like a bit like Dead Nation. It was kind of like that. And even then, I could tell mechanically there was something here that really, really clicked. The fact that they then shifted it to third person and have upgraded it to the way they have, I think it's one of the strongest sequels of any game I've ever seen.
I think it's one of the strongest games I've ever played.
Yeah.
Just it, the fact that you can just pick it up, play it for 40 minutes, half an hour, and put it down.
And you feel like you've made meaningful progression too.
Yeah.
Because so often I went back to Apex recently, and I do still enjoy that game. But I look at some of it and I go, oh my God, I'm so out of the loop. I've got so many legends I haven't unlocked, and there's so many things I still need to do that I almost feel like it's almost now I've missed the boat a bit. Like it's too much for me to get back into it fully. Whereas Helldivers lets you feel like you've actually made progress.
Yeah, I imagine if someone was to join it 6 months from now, the game would
Similar
have progressed
feeling.
So much, and then start, right? You'd have to go, oh, in order to compete, you've really got to...
There's
so there
kind
is
of...
an element of that. So unless you join it with a group of people and you're going to play in that, right, we're all level fives. By that point, 6 months from now, the people that got the game day one are going to be level like 50, 60, 70, 100, whatever. And they're going to be like, we've unlocked everything. We've got all of the weapons and stratagems and upgrades and boosters. And we're like, you know... the gods, and you can have a little level five cadet walk in and be like, "Hi, I've got nothing," and it'll be like this sort of thing. Don't play with me because you're clearly rubbish.
Yeah, because he's
thing.
Coming in as Jeremy Default.
Coming in as like Captain, I've got nothing to bring to the table.
Captain Plain. But that's actually a fair point, Burley. I leveled that at Apex actually, but I think that's true of any multiplayer game, is that there is an element of you can miss the boat to a certain degree. If you come in very late, you are going to struggle to kind of catch up with those veteran players. But I do think both Apex and Helldivers, actually, to an extent, they do a really nice job of making you feel capable early.
Yeah, I mean, I've played with some people that were like really low down, and they were a bit dim, but there's still some good. If you put the right stuff together with the rest of the squad, you can still get by, right?
Mm.
And equally as well, as long as you find other people of the same ilk, you could just play as your own little, don't have to go into the super hard difficulties or stuff. But I think it'll be fine. I mean, yeah, not to put anyone off the game. I think most people that are going to play it are going to have bought it and got on board with it relatively early on, right? They've kind of got their players in. You get a few stragglers, no doubt, over the coming months that are like, what is all this hype? But if you were to play it like a year in, you might struggle. But then I did that with the Division 2. That had been out for years.
Sure.
I jumped on it. And again, a very progressive type game. And I quite quickly caught up.
Yeah, they
I'd
did a
say.
Quite nice job of staying
Yeah, when you're
it.
Playing, people were way higher levels than me. And I was getting in. And I mean, I was dying more than some of the other people because I didn't have the same resilience. But I was able to sort of contribute and...
And
just
you were
not on the
still able
same
to
level.
Enjoy it in that sense.
Yeah, I still
right?
have fun. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually, there is precedent with Arrowhead, the developer of Helldivers. They have a precedent of releasing these big expansions for the previous game. So Helldivers 1 had like 5 big expansion packs. So they added like new planets, weapons, stratagems, vehicles, all this kind of stuff.
Didn't weren't
And
they releasing stuff up to like 2019, I think I read.
Yeah, they were
So up
several
until
years after launch, which again is another press release, another sort of bit of advertising. It gets new players in because they go, oh, what's this about? And so I do think there is a, you know, much like you have the seasonal updates for something like Apex, and now you've obviously got, you know, the Game Master. I think he's referred to just as Joel. We only know him as Joel in
Helldivers. Yeah, the almighty Joel.
Yeah, that's kind of introducing stuff that perhaps isn't officially released yet. Test the waters, get the community excited. They've done a really nice job, I think, of keeping that engagement and keeping that interest in it, even though there's a lot of competition. I mean, there is more live service and big budget single player games as well as big multiplayer titles than ever before. There's stuff that, you know, there was an article I saw recently where the top 10 most played games on PlayStation right now on PS5, seven of them are from the previous generation. As in, there's stuff like Minecraft and Roblox and FIFA and Call of Duty.
People are always playing catch up, or they just stick to the, you know.
Yeah.
It makes sense, right? So you need to have a game that has legs. That's not like a release it within a year, it's sort of done, right? And people are on to the next thing. But I say, his Helldivers, I think, right, I'll be in a few years' time, I'll still be playing it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's
going to have a really long tail to it, particularly if they keep the kind of this cadence of like smaller additions and upgrades. Like we got like randomly, here's two new guns to unlock. Here's the exosuit. You know, just a few little extra things.
Here's a new little campaign. Here's a new major order over here on this planet.
Yeah.
Here's this planet over here. Here's this new game scenario, like 4v4 or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. They'll
I've
do
wondered
it.
if they were going to see, you know how Fortnite has a tendency to do these big shared narrative events in their battle royale, these big, like whether it's someone doing a concert in the game or some big map changing storyline. I have wondered if we're going to start seeing beyond the major orders and the drip feed of new stratagems and weapons, if we're going to see, because it's all online, right? It's all a connected world, that we end up seeing some kind of big narrative event that all Helldivers that log on at a certain time experience.
We'll see. Yeah.
You know?
Or just like videos and like YouTube stuff, right? Like just releasing stuff alongside the game. They've got the foundations for it, I think, and they've definitely got the following.
Yes.
As long as they keep the following, like the people that are already hooked, like staying in it, right, dipping in and out, ongoing, and like small little release, like pay for stuff, right? It doesn't have to be massive. They're making bank, aren't they?
No, for sure. And that also, it proves that you don't need enormous seasonal changes to keep your community interested, because they've actually, you know, like last week it was like a couple new guns, but that was it. It wasn't some massive balance change or here's a new game mode or here's some huge seasonal theme. It was just, here's a little bit of extra content. And it kept people excited enough to go, okay, I want to do a few more drops, save up my medals. And
it keeps me going. Every time I see something on YouTube, I'm following loads of stuff and I've not played for a few days, I'm like, I'm missing out. It makes me feel like I'm missing out. And I mean, that's why I feel the need sometimes to jump on for an hour in the week. I just see what's there, you know,
check in.
Just keep myself in, yeah.
That's something as well I thought they did really nicely, which is that they didn't include every major change in their patch notes. So they had like a full list of changes for things like, you know, balancing weapon damage and all this stuff. But the drop, you know, those big AT-AT automaton things that like shit out other robots within them, they didn't add them in the patch notes. Players discovered them because they started sharing it on Reddit and on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what hell is this? Or like when they spotted the cloaked gunships in the sky, they're like, oh, is that the Illuminati? Is that third faction that's rumored? And none of this was mentioned in a press release or in an official video. This is just people organically discovering
it. They tease
stuff.
It in the game. Yeah, they give you like, little, what's this? What's this
Best
thing over
way
here?
To do it, because you've got people wanting to log on and experience this stuff while they're then also then enjoying it and playing it and doing this with their friends.
For me, 10 out of 10. Amazing game. And quality game.
And
so good.
I mean, I'm not directing this at anyone specific, right? I would never target anyone. You know,
I would never, I would never force content down people's throats.
Absolutely not.
In WhatsApp
or
just vocally, just drop it into conversation constantly.
I would never just send YouTube clips in a WhatsApp group chat.
I would never bombard people all day.
Why would we do that, Billy? That'd be inconsiderate.
Bang
right?
out of order.
But
it's
just
so
think,
out of order.
When you think with everything we've just said, just think of how much fun certain people could be having.
Anyone.
Anyone could be having with you. I mean, there's a couple people I can think
of.
For
the reasonable price of less than...
For just a reasonable price.
Half a tank of petrol.
Yeah. By the way, where's my shares in Sony? this? Where's this incredible advertising revenue I'm not making?
It's just, yeah. It's too good. It's just...
Yeah.
And I am proper obsessed with it, genuinely. Like, I am just... Is every time I jump, it's like, when we've done our things for the day and throughout the day, we sometimes get like these little windows of like, right, we've done stuff with Drew, we've done this, we've been to the park, we've gone to the shops, or whatever. And now it's like everyone's just sort of, oh, we're going to relax for a bit. You know, we've got a couple of hours. And it's just me just sort of backing up slowly. Jim's like, you're going to go into the office? And I'm like, maybe. I might just bop in for just a little bit, okay? Yeah. I'll see you later.
You know, your lighting is really enhancing your bit because you faded to black as you went away just then. That's great. Yeah, bye. Maybe that should be the outro as we just slowly just move off camera. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to this brand new episode of Burley and a Tea. Burley, thank you so much for joining me for this. Always a treat, always a pleasure. You can find us on all of the various socials under our brand new company, Burley Bird Media. We're just at Burley Bird Media on everything. Just all of the things. Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace. You know, we're there. You'll find us, you know.
I know where to JT. I own 49% of his company.
Yes. I mean, I did rename it to make sure that it wasn't your spelling. So then I could avoid any future litigation from you should this really blow up.
Because in the end, in a minute, it's got my name on the bottom of the screen.
It does.
And I just wonder, but it's clearly spelled differently. It's spelled the non-posh way.
It is. And I thought I would allude to it without putting myself up for being sued.
And clearly the logo is clearly me. I think he took a photo of me while I wasn't looking. I was just sat on a chair. I was, you know, I'd just eaten.
This is great.
I just ate, and it was the not most flattering, you know. And the light, I don't know why I wore my big purple T-shirt that day.
I'm weird, yeah, I know.
and then, you know, but he did. And
you were my reference material.
Obviously, yeah.
As it should be, right? Well, thanks everyone so much for tuning in, and we will see you at the next episode.